Thank God for a good day in the Lord. So good to be here. Amen. Appreciate Church of God here in Newark and all that you all have done for the Lord for many, many years. Had some good memories here. I got saved here and met my wife here. A lot of good fellowship here. We appreciate that. Amen. I remember Brother Donald Orr when 1990 we went to Haiti, went with Brother Decker and Brother Ronald Cummings and Brother Donald Orr. We had a good trip. That was when Brother Cummings was dating Sister Almeida, and he sure took a lot of teasing on that trip, but he took it well. Amen. So we had a good time there in Haiti. Appreciated that. Amen. We want to look at John chapter 13 tonight. John chapter 13. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. Don't get worried, we're not having a foot washing service tonight. Though Jesus sprung it on the disciples, he didn't announce it ahead of time. So if we were going to be Christ-like, we'd have to do it that way, right? But we would all be mad at our pastors for doing that. We like to wash our feet before the feet washing, right? And get fresh socks on. Amen. Jesus sprung it on these disciples here. And you know, there's a lot in these verses. There's a lot in the Lord's Supper. A lot in the feet washing. Charles Spurgeon said once about communion, he said, there's a mighty pregnancy in these signs. There's a lot in here. There's a lot packed in, and there's a lot that we can gather. We want to gather a little bit out of this feet washing tonight by the help of God. So let's read on. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That's the verse we want to focus on. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Been an intriguing verse throughout the years as I've read this over and over. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, Peter, you don't have any part with me. And we know the point wasn't to wash his feet of the dirt and the grime. That, amen, we know that, very simple there. It's not, that's not what it was about. And you know, you don't have to have the grime washed out between your toes to be a disciple. That wasn't the issue here. Amen. Rinsing away the things there on the feet. Amen. But I thought, as I was studying this the other day, we preached this at home Wednesday night, and as I was studying yesterday, I was actually reading the Gospel Trumpeter a little bit, and God gave me some more to add to this message, and felt like God would have it for tonight. Amen. Ask the question, what would it mean if Peter did not let Jesus wash his feet? Why was it so important to Jesus that Peter get his feet washed? And Oftentimes we think of feet washing and we know it's a good exercise for the one doing the washing, right? It's a good humbling experience and a good way to serve one another and express our love and appreciation one for another. Amen. It's a good thing to do and let each other know how much you love and appreciate each other. I was washing feet one time, and I washed a brother's feet, and I stood up when I was done. I said, "I love you, brother," and he just stood there and didn't say a word. Amen. But it's good to say that. I love you, brother. Amen. We love one another and appreciate what each other does for the Lord. And again, tonight, we often think of feet washing as a good experience for the one doing the service. But Jesus told Peter clearly here, if you don't get your feet washed, you don't have any part with me. If you don't let me wash your feet, and I wondered often, Lord, what, why? Why would Peter have to get his feet washed? And I believe God spoke to us about that this week. I want to share a few things with you about it. Amen. And I believe this was a cleansing experience for the disciples. It was a time of cleansing their hearts and a good lesson for them. I believe if Peter wouldn't have let Jesus wash his feet here, the disciples would have went on arguing about who was the greatest. I just believe that tonight. Amen. So, I want to talk to you tonight about enduring awkward moments for God. So I want to start out really broad here tonight as we look at these issues that are packed into this verse. If I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Again, start out really broad, enduring awkward moments for God, letting God correct us, and cleansing the pride away. I believe that's the real issue. Amen. Cleansing the pride away. So let's look into this a little bit. Peter did not want to sit through an awkward moment. This was awkward for Peter. Man, a lot of people talk about awkward here. About 5 or 10 years ago, it became really popular to talk about awkward, right? And that's awkward. I didn't hear it as much when I was a young person, but the last few years, I hear a lot of people saying, well, that's awkward. This is awkward. That's awkward. Everything's awkward. Amen. But this was awkward for Peter. He recoiled before the very thought of it. Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You're the great one among us. You can't bow yourself like that and wash my feet. I can't deal with that. Right? This was an awkward moment for all the disciples, I believe. As Jesus was making his rounds there, I believe, you know, Peter, as he sat there, this was probably only a few minutes, you know, in each disciple, but I believe Peter was feeling like an eternity, wondering what is going on, why is Jesus doing this, and Lord, this is awkward, I can't let you wash my feet, I can't deal with this as an individual, Lord, you're the master, what are you doing? Amen. This was a discomfort, and I believe there's a general lesson here, amen, that we can make the statement very clearly. If you are not willing to endure awkward moments for the sake of God, you cannot be a disciple, because it does get awkward at times being a child of God. In a world where Jesus said clearly that not very many make it, right? Many are called, few are chosen, and few there be that find the right way, and that just lends itself to often the children of God are in the minority. And you got to take stands a lot of times, don't you, for living for God? Amen? There's a lot of awkward moments that you find yourself in and you must endure, and I want to challenge you tonight and encourage you to stand up through those awkward times when things are discomforting and not comfortable. This is what I was reading. This was the October trumpeter. We leave the trumpeters laying around in our one of our tables in the church building, and the October one, I picked it up, amen, to take it home from the church building. I had it, and this was Brother Decker's message, and he was talking about returning to the Lord, backsliders returning to the Lord, and he made a statement: some people feel embarrassed to dress modestly, carry a Bible, pray over a meal, or engage in conversation about someone's soul. Those can be awkward moments. When I went back to high school, I got saved here June of 1989. It was right before my senior year of high school, and I went back, and the first few days of school, I had some very challenging moments. Bowing my head to pray over a meal in front of my friends. It was an awkward moment. Not that it should be, or not that we want to be embarrassed about the Lord, but when nobody else is and you're the only one, it can get awkward. And we must be willing to sit through awkward moments for God. If we're going to be a child of God, we've got to be willing to be different. If we're not willing to be different, we give the world nothing to rise up to. We don't give the world anything to look up to. And if we just fit in on every level, there's no separation between God and God's children and the children of the world. Amen. Got to endure. I believe we can apply it with all correctness and accuracy. What Jesus said here: if I wash thee not, you have no part. If you're not willing to sit through this awkward moment, you don't have a part with me. And it's still awkward at times when you go out with your boss for lunch and he's a talker and talk, 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 and you almost have to interrupt him to pray over your food. That's awkward. But it's a good thing to do. To bow your head to pray to the one that provided everything for you. Amen. I used to have a really good coworker. I worked in Mansfield in public accounting. That was my first real accounting job. And one of my bosses was a very devoted Christian. And we'd go out with clients and we'd just be talking. And he wouldn't pray with me, but he was very distinct in the way he bowed his head, stopped his whole conversation. And I remember one client just kind of looking at him, half bug-eyed, looking at him while he was praying, like, "What are you doing?" But we've got to be able to endure those awkward moments, and you can do that. Be confident, saints. Be confident. The world's the ones that should be ashamed. They should be ashamed for not thanking God. They should be the ones that are ashamed for not giving God thanks and asking God to bless the food and being appreciative toward God that provided. They should be ashamed, not you. Amen. Sometimes it's awkward to be the only one in the crowd that's dressing modestly. They want to make you feel bad. When you're the only one whose clothes don't look like a layer of skin. Amen. It's an awkward moment. You've got to be willing to endure awkward moments if you're going to be a child of God. Amen. Enduring those awkward moments. Talking to someone about their soul, especially the first time you ever talk to an individual, it's an icebreaker, isn't it? It's hard to get through that first time talking to someone. It's easier the second time with a certain, if you talk to a guy, one of your friends, the first time you bring it up, it's difficult. There's a lot of spiritual pressure. Don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. Don't bring it up. Don't bring up the subject. That's the devil fighting you. It can be awkward. Man, I think Brother Decker hit the nail on the head with that statement. It's an issue for being a child of God. It's one of the things that we must learn to do as children of God. Amen. I visited another congregation once, and I don't remember who this brother was that was preaching, but he preached a whole message on running with a horseman. Remember the scripture out of the Old Testament, if you can't walk with the footmen, what are you going to do when the horsemen come, right? And he talked about kindergarten basics. And one of the things he mentioned was these kinds of things, taking stands when you first get saved and letting your friends know, I can't run with you, to do those things that I used to do. You've got to be able to make those stands for God as you live for God. And I say again, you can do it tonight. You can be different. And it's needful if you're going to help your friends and family make it to heaven. You've got to be willing to be different. Amen. You've got to be willing to endure those awkward moments. And you know, afterwards, people learn to respect you. Amen. They learn to respect you. Thank God for it. Amen. Yeah, we carry our Bibles on our phones now. We don't often carry a big book around anymore that we used to. When I went to high school, I carried my Bible to all my classes, and I'd read it at lunch or a quiet time in a class. And anymore, you can just pull your phone out, you know. And I can remember doing that, and by the end of the school year, there was five other kids that were bringing their Bibles to school. Amen. So it wasn't easy at first, but it yielded something. Amen. And brought out the desire of other people to live for God. Amen. I say, let the wicked be ashamed. Amen. These are awkward moments sometimes that you got to press through. Right? You got to press through it. And be confident tonight. Don't be ashamed, and don't try to hide it. Amen. You can live for God steadily and face everything that comes. God will give you grace for everything. Endure those things. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Amen. I say again, before we move on, if you do not want to endure awkward moments for God, you won't be able to be a child of God. Amen. I was a shoplifter before I got saved. Started young, 5 years old, Orlando, Florida. I can't remember if I told these stories here or not before. I've told them several times, but Publix, grocery store, taking food and eating it while mom was shopping, taking candy. Amen. I was 5, got saved when I was 16, and God started dealing with me. You need to go make that right. I lived in West Virginia. I lived up north here. No stores are down south. And I went back. One time we went to visit our family. I went back, and the store was gone. I thought, Lord, I'm off the hook. They're gone. I can't make this right. We went to see my brother-in-law graduate from the Marines in South Carolina a few years later, and we had Google Maps. I didn't have a phone at that time, or a smartphone, or a GPS system, so we had Google Maps, and they somehow it took us to an old dead-end dirt road instead of Paris Island, where we were supposed to be, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, and not sure what went wrong there. But on the way back, on getting back on track, we went by, and I looked off to my right. There was a Publix grocery store. There it was. I thought, Lord, they're not out of business. I didn't do anything that trip, but another time I was down south, I went back in one, and went up to the service desk, and I said, hey, I need to make something right. I stole from you guys when I was a kid, and I want to pay it back. And that girl at the counter looked nervous. She said, here, I'll be back. That made me nervous. It's like, what is she doing? And manager came over, and he said, what can I help you with? And I explained it to him. He said, how much? I said, well, $10 would probably be more than enough for what I took. He said, okay, I'll put it in our charity fund. Man, that was awkward for a few minutes, but it felt really good to get it over with. Amen. Got to endure awkward moments for the Lord. Amen. Let's move on. Enduring correction. I believe, getting a little more specific, God was correcting the disciples through this feet washing, and many times we get corrected through our feet washing. Amen. We can be humble. Brother Mike Miller told us when he was in Brother Calvin Foster's congregation, Brother Foster would call feet washing if he felt like there was any kind of hard feelings developing in the congregation. Up, time for a feet washing. It can be a correction to us, can it? I better humble myself, right? Man, we got to endure correction for the Lord. The Bible said if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. I believe Jesus in this passage was instituting a very good ordinance for us, but beyond that, he was correcting these disciples for all of their fussing about who was the greatest. He was correcting them. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you've been living for God, there's going to be times when God's going to come by and correct you. Amen. Not even for sinful things, just for, you know, we still err in judgment once in a while. We misjudge people, it's situations we misjudge, or we might move too soon on something, or whatever the case might be. John Wesley said, your Christian perfection does not cover human mistakes. You're still going to make mistakes, right? Amen. You're still going to make mistakes, and God's going to come behind you and correct you. Amen. And Peter said, you know, we should just take it. When we've messed up, we should take it. Take it patiently, right? Man, we should even take it patiently when we didn't mess up and people get on our case, right? That's what Peter said. It's a glory. If you endure chastening, it's something that you have to endure. It's a humbling experience. When someone comes to you with something, they say, look, Brother Josh, you mistook me, or you misunderstood me, or you, you know, you moved out of place on this situation. It's hard. It's hard to sit through it, isn't it? Especially the longer you live for God, you don't like to be wrong. Amen. It's a difficult thing. You got to sit through it. You feel like you're in the furnace almost. Face might get red. You know, your color changes, you know. Amen. Lord, help us. I believe, again, we could say on this passage, Peter, listening to Jesus, if I don't wash you, Peter, you don't have any part with me. If you don't let me correct you right now, we could put more details in it. If you don't let me correct you, you don't have any part with me. You gotta let me correct you. Amen. We were in one of our meetings. We have meetings at work, 11 o'clock every morning. I got to meet with eight other managers. And my boss was giving this one guy a talking to and kind of getting on his case about something. And then my boss apologized. He said, sorry, I didn't really mean to get on your case. And the other guy's Pete. Pete said, you're not going to make me cry. Pete went to West Point, graduated from the military academy and spent some time in the military. He said, I've been really chewed out a few times. In the military, he said, he told the boss of the company, he said, you don't hold a candle to those guys. But he learned to take it patiently, right? You got to take it when people come to you to correct you, every one of us. Sometimes children can correct you. Lord help. And sometimes they're right. Amen. Lord help us to be humble. Amen. My last point here tonight, cleansing the pride away. I believe it gets right down to the point. Jesus, I believe, was showing up all of those disciples and all the pride that they had. He was showing them up. And by doing so, he was correcting that pride, showing them that they could be a lot more humble. And as they sat there and watched him wash, I believe the pride was just melting away. And they were thinking, I've got to be like this. I've got to learn to do this. Amen. God help us tonight. Jesus was being a lot more humble than Peter was. Amen. Lord help. If we do not learn to serve others, we cannot be a partaker of Christ. Amen. We cannot be a partaker of Christ. Sometimes God can do great things in your life, but that makes you no better than anybody else. You got to keep serving. Serving others cleanses pride away. It really does. In Findlay, where we live, the Marathon Petroleum has our headquarters. It's two blocks from our church building. And the highest paying jobs in Findlay, right there, Marathon. They employ a few thousand people. It's a big place and lots of good jobs. But the president of the company makes every one of those employees do 24 hours of community service every year. That's a smart guy. Amen. Amen. Service. I mean, we've tried to do some of that in our own congregation, and not just for the community, but for the elderly people in the congregation that can't take care of their yard anymore. We'll gather some people up and go help them out a little bit. Amen. It's good to serve one another. The Bible says in Galatians, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Amen. It's a good thing. I believe it's the culture here, and it's a good thing, amen, that we would get involved in the work of God. Learn to serve the congregation. Find a way. I believe if you've been saved and delivered from sin and been baptized like you're supposed to be and committed your life to God, made a public confession to serve God, I believe it's on you to devote yourself and find a way to serve God's people. Amen. It's a ministry thing God's called you to do. Lord, help us. Serving cleanses a pride away. Nobody likes to deal with someone that holds himself as better than everyone else. No one likes to deal with that. Amen. Amen. Make Jesus prominent in the midst. Lord, help tonight. I'm not long-winded. I'm about done here. Not apologizing. Just letting you know. Man, bring what God gives us. If I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. I say again in closing, amen, Jesus was teaching Peter, Peter, you've got to sit through this moment. I know it's difficult, but you got to sit through it. You got to endure it. You got to let me correct you. And you got to let me cleanse this pride away. Amen. God's people are called to be a humble people. We're saved not because of anything we did, but because of what he did. It was all him. Man, we responded to his call, I'm aware of that, but amen, it was God that sent his son. It was God that gave us his spirit. It was God that did the heart transplant. It was God that filled us with the Spirit of God. It was God that gave gifts from heaven. God gave you every talent you've had. Amen. And in closing tonight, are you seeking to serve your brothers and sisters? Seeking to serve the congregation? Do you show up for the work days? I really like Brother Bert Wills, what he said. We were there in Baltimore, and one time someone asked him, how many people are in your congregation, Brother Bert? And he said, well, are you talking about a picnic or a work day? Man, makes a difference. Amen. Do you have a burden to serve the congregation? There's lots of ways. Amen. We'll ask you to stand tonight. Ask the musicians to come. As we pray, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight. We thank you, dear God, for the lesson in the words of Christ. Oh, God, we pray that you'd help us, that, Lord, we'd endure the things we need to endure as your children. Lord, we let you mold us, and Lord, humble us, Lord, as needed. Dear God, we just pray that you guide us, Lord, in our living, that we can be a blessing one to another. Lord, that we learn lessons of esteeming others more highly than ourselves. We just pray that you talk to us, Lord. Help us, dear God, in your name.